Gospel of St. Luke, Luke chapter 18. Are you ready?
Yes.
There we go. Praise the Lord. Bible says, talking about the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week, give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are mighty, knowing that you are awesome, knowing that you are close, Lord, close enough to touch, Lord, close enough to meet us here, Lord. Lord, I thank you for our time of worship this morning, Lord. I thank you for the great time we had at Future Quest this week, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void, Lord, that you have a place for each one of us here today, a plan and a purpose for our lives, Lord. Lord, we want to find a way to tie into that, Lord. We want to find a way to tie into your prayer, Lord, that we can have a communication and conversation with the Creator of the universe, Lord, that you would come, Lord, and you would show us what you have in store for us, Lord, the plans that you have devised before the creation of the world. Got a name of Larry Freeman on it, Sandra Hurd, George Viorini, and everybody else in this room. Got my name on a plan, Lord. I want to find a way, Lord, to move through all the petty stuff and grab onto the big stuff. I'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen. We did go to Future Quest, and Future Quest, I guess, never put this together, is questing after your future, looking for what the Lord has in store for you, and I hope you believe that the Lord has something for you today. I had been driving back and forth. I think I counted it up between Lisa and Joe and I. We had 12 trips back and forth to Santee, ferrying kids back and forth. Pastor Scott and Aaron were doing due diligence, and his wonderful wife Lisa, she made a double trip on Friday because Pastor Scott was not feeling well, but I went. Bill Wilson was on Friday, and I said, you know, I'd seen him before years ago, and I said, I'll go see Bill Wilson, and I parked the car, and finding parking space is tough, and let all the kids out, and I walk in, and I see Cody, like on the front row. And I see Juan, chair right behind him. And then I see Danny in the chair right behind Juan. And I come walking up, and they're like doing this. I'm like, and then I see Joe and Josh and all those guys in the front row of the next section. And I'm looking down, I'm looking up, and I'm saying, I think I'm going to sit here with these guys. And I asked Danny, I go, anybody sitting there? I don't know. And they got, I don't know, I'm sitting there now. And so we sit there, and they begin showing a video of the previous day's events, right? And all the stuff and activity. They had a ton of stuff going on. It's probably, I don't know, did they say how many kids were there? 2,000, 3,000 probably? And they had all kinds of stuff going on. And they show the worship time, and they show Juan on the front row with his hands up praising God. And I'm going, wow, okay. And so that ends, you know, they make an announcement or two, and all of a sudden the worship starts, and the lights go down, and bam, Cody is gone. Juan is gone, and Danny is gone, and they have run up with about 1,000 other kids to the front of that worship time. And the worship happens, and the kids are just worshiping, and I go back to the second section, and there's Jason just standing there with his hands up. Joe kneeled on his chair just praying. God doing a glorious thing. Talk about power in worship. These two girls right here, my prayer leaders here, or prayer praise youth leaders here this morning, they are there on the night session, and I'm just seeing them with their hands up. Seeing all the kids just worshiping. Power in worship. Talking about power in prayer this morning. And we've been in this section, this series on prayer, and I've been trying to wanting to hope that you can develop a familiarity. I'm freaking out where this thing is. Somebody's moved it. All right, there we go. Excuse me. It's kind of like having something in your room moved. So now I can do this. All right. Power in prayer and familiarity in prayer. And I've been asking you to pray for me. And I've been praying for you, and I ask you to pray for one another. And to become familiar with the presence of God. That as you take that person, as you begin to pray, you walk into that most holy place where Jesus holds the door open with his body that he sacrificed for us. And he sits and he intercedes for us with the Father. And as you walk into that, you will be transformed. And you become familiar with God, and you become familiar with how he moves. Right? And it's like, oh, okay, this is a God move. And you become familiar with that. And as you become familiar with him and you become familiar with how he moves, you will begin to become lined up on him. Amen? Amen? Now, all that is a little bit fuzzy. You know, it's like a little ooey-gooey, kind of mystical. We're going to get a little bit more concrete today. We're going to get into the mechanics of prayer, on how it works, on how you can grab on to God, about how you can, as we have this conversation with God, that you would literally put on the mind of Christ, that he would guide and direct you, and that as you would move, you could understand and hear from him the massively giant and huge things that he wants you to participate with him to accomplish. Amen? Because, see, we can be so worried about the trivial things and enmeshed in trivia and never be able to move to the big things. Amen? Amen? And so as we grab on to some of the mechanics of prayer, we're going to be able to move through that trivia and get to the big stuff. Amen? Amen. All right, let's take a look at that. Making prayer work. Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray. This then is how you should pray. There are styles of prayer. And you know what? I had intuitively known this, but I had never come across it before. And so I've been reading a lot of books on prayer. I got like 5 books on prayer. I'm just kind of working through and studying a lot about prayer. And this thing, it was in Yancey's book, Philip Yancey's book on prayer, and he talked about prayer styles for the different temperaments. And I'm a big temperament study guy. And there's 4 basic temperaments. I'm going to tell you about them. But there's 4 basic styles of prayer that go along with those personality types. And you will like one of them. In fact, I have experienced 4 of these styles of prayer this morning already. You want to know what they are? All right, here we go. 4 basic styles of prayer. The long prayer. I put slow up there too. Long and slow. There are some of you who, if you don't think that you have, my wife, when she read that book this morning, right? It's like long as we're going to get into some stuff. We are going to embrace history and text, and we are going to touch the throne of God. Yeah. I'll tell you, there are if you like long and slow prayer, your favorite gospel. This is uncanny too, because I nailed myself on this. Your favorite gospel will normally be Matthew. And people who prayed like this, Moses, 40 days, 40 nights, just getting into it. Man, 20 days not even get you there. You're not even praying until you hit 32, 33 days, man. It takes a while. He did 40 days a couple of times. All right, so we got long and slow prayer, and then you've got deep prayer. We're going to touch the heart of God. We are going to pursue the goodness of God. We are going to find His plan, the truth, and the beauty of God. If this is your style of prayer, you most likely enjoy the Gospel of John. People who prayed like this was Abraham. So you got long and you got deep. And then you got praying on the go. Pray without ceasing. We are moving, we are shaken. Kind of like how Peter prayed. You'll like the Gospel of Mark. Then, silent prayer. Just want to meet with God. Just want to touch God. Paul talking about praying without ceasing. You could pray without ceasing when you pray silently. Just always be praying in the back of your head. Oh, Lord, I just give you praise. Paul prayed like this, and you will like the Gospel of Luke. Did you find yourself in that? How many of you found one of those styles of prayer that you most like and most identify with? Come on, anybody? Look at that. You got long, deep prayer on the go and silent prayer. Some of these are much more attractive, like the long prayer. It's like, you know, people write books about long prayer, and people who like long prayer like books about prayer. It's like, we are going to pray the Psalms, the book of Psalms. In 150 days, we are going to go through all the Psalms. And day 119 is going to be a doozy, folks. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But we're going to do that, and we're just going to focus, and we're going to find the heart of the Psalms. I mean, it's like, we're going to prayer meetings, 150 days of prayer, man. It's like, oh, wow, let's put it on the radio. Man, that's like impressive. When you go deep, deep. Oh, we've got this troubling situation. We've got to find the heart. Stop everything. Everybody, come on. We're going to touch God's heart. You say, man, that guy can pray. Wow. It's so attractive. Prayer on the go? Prayer on the go can feel sacrilegious. It's like Aaron talking about, I'm meeting God in my shower. It's like, what? You don't even have clothes on? You're talking to God? I'll talk to God anywhere. You know? Whoa, let's just keep that to yourself, Aaron. And then silent prayer. Like, is that it? That's all we get? So some of these prayers, I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm a silent prayer guy. I was up here in silent prayer in that worship time, and I tell you what, man, I was doing backflips with God up here. It was glorious. And not one of you knew what I was doing. It can be hard to sync up. My wife is into long prayer. And man, she's just like, oh, Lord, man. And I've already prayed through, you know, 25 different things at that point, you know. I'm like, boom, 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 man. I'm just going and moving. Oh, man, she hadn't even started yet. And so, you know, we got these four different, let me pop them back up there. These four different styles. We're going to have prayer at the end today. Okay? Roki, you got the fan on? No. Okay. I'm smelling Talentos coming up here. And so it's just, it could get bad. But it's just warming you up for the Talentos coming later. All right. Four basic styles. We're going to close with worship. And we're going to try to have all four of these types of prayer where you can have this long and slow prayer to this slow worship song that Lisa's going to sing. You want silent prayer, you can just come and kneel down. You want to pray with somebody, right? You want to talk to somebody comes up to pray with you and you're in silent prayer and you're just going like, I got to say, I'm talking with God right now. You want to pray with somebody. You want to try and have all four of these going on up here at the end so that we can move through the clutter and get to the big stuff. Amen?
Yep.
Amen. All right, let's keep going. Styles of prayer. Making prayer work, different strokes for different folks, okay? Hear my cry for mercy. as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. Psalm 95, 6. Come, let us bow in worship. The Bible has all kinds of styles of prayer. Lifting our hands. Praying as you're going into battle. You think those guys are praying as they go into battle? I think they're praying, man. I think they're running. Hey, when you're running away from a battle, I think you're praying too. Lord, let me get away from here. Let us bow. Let us stand. All kinds of different styles of prayer. Peter knelt when he prayed. Jeremiah stood when he prayed. And Nehemiah sat when he prayed. There are some basics. If you're standing, sitting, bowing, kneeling, on your face, running, on the go, there are some basics to prayer. Number one, be honest with God. If you got clutter to get through it. You know, you don't have to like try and just, oh, let me just, God knows your clutter. You know, if you never get through the clutter, you're never going to get through the big stuff. Keep it honest. Keep it simple. You know, God knows what you need before you pray it. Sometimes our efforts at prayer is to make us aware, to put on that mind of Christ so we can see our situations more clearly. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to keep it honest, keep it simple, and keep it up. Make a routine of prayer. Set a time for prayer. Jesus prayed late, and Jesus prayed early. Lisa is a night person. I am a morning person. Whatever time you pray, pray. Keep it simple, keep it honest, and keep it up. Set a time and make the time. You're thinking right now, I'm a morning person. I can get up at 4:45, whenever. How much time do you have to give to the Lord? If you give him 15 minutes a day in prayer, for many of you, that'll be 15 times what you're giving him now.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Set up a time. Make it regular. Keep it simple, keep it honest, and keep it up. Amen?
Amen.
I told you previously about my prayer because going on my way to the Tijuana dump to preach. And as you pray, God will organize and speak to your heart and will change your life. Change the decisions you make for today and tomorrow and this week and next week and sometimes longer than that. And we had just finished a big old, I don't know how big, thousands of square foot pad for this dormitory on the orphanage. And we were finishing the pad and we were the last crew to go and I was preaching. We had to go into the outreach and all the rest of the people, like 50, 60, 70 people, were over there passing out flyers and getting ready and doing clown stuff and all this stuff. And so we're going over there late and the guys are all, you know, cutting up and I'm driving because I'm the intern and I'm thinking about what I'm going to preach. And we're heading over there and I hear this voice says, whatever you do today, I'm going to take it back next week. I'm like, what? He said, you'll be gone next week. And I'll still be here. And I'm telling you, my focus on that ride over to TJ, or the dump, man, it took a whole new level of focus. And I didn't tell anybody else what was going on. And they're cutting up, and they're getting ready, and all that stuff. And I tell you what, I am in heavy-duty spiritual warfare with this entity that was arrayed against me. And I'm telling you, I just started just rebuking him, and he just started laughing. He said, you'll be gone. I'm like, Lord, Lord, make a change. Make a transformation. You'll be gone. I'll take it back. I don't care what you say today. I don't care what you do today. It will be gone. And in that, my life was changed. Because I went back up to Bible college. And I prayed for that. And the Lord called me to go back down to that same orphanage in Tecate for 3 years. And my focus was to build a system of churches, right? And we began, because there was no system to what they were doing. And so we began to build churches that were in a line. and that could be serviced. And my job was to bring teams in so that there would never be a week where there wasn't somebody there. And I am telling you, that prayer on that, sometimes your emergencies will just come right on you. That big thing will just hit you right in the teeth, and whether or not you're ready to hear it. And I am telling you, that prayer and that demonic presence is being an attack on me, transformed my life. Because I went to that orphanage, the director of that orphanage is the one who told me about this church. And that day, going to that outreach affected my life for the next 20 years. And that is what you're talking about, praying and getting on to the big things. Amen? Does that make sense? I'm going to get too wide out there. I mean, all right, let's just go. Let's just go. Challenges to prayer. Anybody feel challenged in their prayer life? Anybody feel challenged in their prayer life? There we go. Being honest, right? Be honest, right? Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm challenged. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, stepped onto the water. Only person on the planet except for Jesus, right? To do that. Okay. Would you be focused at that moment? Oh, yeah. I'm thinking I am. He said, come out on the water. He said, Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, see, he took his eyes off the Lord. He got distracted by what was going on around him. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. And sometimes we can get distracted in our prayers. Amen? Yeah. You ever find that to be true? You sit down to pray, and what happens? Phone rings. Yeah. Oh, my. Somebody comes to the door. Baby starts crying. We got so much going on in our lives. We are trying to text, trying to drive, trying to get our coffee. We are multitasking. When we're going to pray, we have to put our mind on the Lord, and we have to close our stuff off, our mind off from all the other stuff. But we got so much going on. We got so much in our head. It's just like it's a whirlwind. And it's like the devil has caused our culture to be like this, so we cannot slow down and focus on the Lord. I'm praying, oh man, I got a leak in my oil in my car. I got to take out the garbage later. Got to call my kid's teacher at school. Sometimes we're distracted, and it is hard to get focused. The trivia, the drama of life will keep us from the big thing. Amen? Amen. Dealing with the distractions. The Lord speaking, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door. Pray to your Father who is unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The Lord would say, get a time, set a time, get a place. Get a place where you pray. I suggest that you get a place where you don't do anything else but pray there. Because when you get to your prayer place and you sit down, you are in prayer mode. If you sit down in front of your computer, you can be in prayer mode and go, let me check my eBay, let me check my email, let me check my tweets, let me check my Twitter, let me check. Right? Get a place and get away from all the electronics. I didn't do this even today. Oh, I don't have my phone. Take your phone. It's in my office. I didn't have to do it. And you put it on silent, not on vibrate, on silent. Because if you're sitting here and you're having that thing going, I'll just check it. And what happened? You just got drawn up into the trivial. You know what? Then leave a message, right? And I'll tell you what, if you leave a voicemail on my phone, I won't get it. I got like 10,000 voicemails. Voicemails, I don't know why. At one point, it was just too complicated for me to do. And now I think I could do it, but now I just don't do it. So if you send me a text, if you send me an email, I will respond. But if you leave me a voicemail, you could be waiting a while. Don't pray in front of your computer. Get a place, get it silent. And then, this is the most important thing to me. get a piece of paper. You're going, why? I will sit down in front of the Lord. I don't even know if I have one right here. Oh, there it is. I will sit down in front of the Lord. Monday is just an incredible time of prayer for me. I take one of these and it's blank on Monday. And I will sit down and I usually mix all the music up and do all that computer stuff. And it takes a while. And it's cranking over behind me. And I will sit down there and I'll have my piece of paper and I'll begin to pray. And I'll say, oh, I got to check the oil. You know what I do? Grab my pen, I put check oil. Now what happens? I don't have to think about checking the oil anymore. If I didn't write it down, I'd be thinking, oh, Lord, I love you, check the oil. Oh, Lord, I pray, check the oil. Oh, Lord, I pray. And then it's like I got to talk to Joe's coach. Lord, you are so awesome. I thank you, Lord, check the oil. Call the coach. Lord, you are so awesome, right? And what happens is I begin to build up all those things I showed you. And I'm trying to keep them in my head so I don't forget any of them because they're important. And I'm trying to praise the Lord. If I write them down, I don't have to worry about remembering them anymore. And I say, oh, Lord, guide and direct me, Lord. Lord, and, you know, and pop these things in my head. And so what happens is I end up setting up my whole week in my prayer time with the Lord. And I am thinking that it is divinely ordered, right? Because the Lord will pop things in there. Like you. Most of the time, I will, on my Mondays, I will put a string of people that I need to talk to, that I am praying for, that I am dealing with. If you would take a piece of paper when you pray and just write down that trivial stuff, it will help you move through the trivial and get to that big thing that the Lord wants you to be able to deal with. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. Let your prayers follow your distractions. It's easier to do with the, I'm a silent prayer guy, and I hope I was thinking about that, man, maybe I'm preaching just to the silent prayer people. How many of you, by the way, were silent prayer people? Oh, cool. There's a bunch of you. All right. I feel better now. All right. Because, I am praying, right? I'm saying, oh, Lord, I pray right now, and I pray your blessings upon the church and the kitchen, Lord. I pray on the kitchen, Lord, and I pray for George, all the things that are going on, and then I'm thinking, oh, man. The fridge is not getting cold enough. Got to deal with the fridge. Write that fridge down. And what happens? I say, oh, and the kitchen crew, Lord, I pray for Dave, and I begin to just follow that. And I'm thinking about the building. I'm thinking about the classroom we're going to modify for Julie Camacho and the preschool room. I start praying for Julie, and maybe I start praying for Roki and for Cody and the boys, and then I start praying for the other teachers. And you can take that distractions, and you can just kind of navigate. Now, when I pray silently, I do it, boom, this quick, bam, 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 bam. I mean, I'll be praying for the kitchen. I'll be praying for this, boom, boom, boom. And I go, oh, write that one down. Shh. Praying, and I'll pray for 1,000 things in 5 minutes. You know, not long prayers like my wife. Oh, Lord, we pray for the preschool. Lord, in your word it says that we should train a child up in the way he should go, that we should bind up your word, and as we going, and as we, it's like, I'm already 500 things down the road, Lisa, come on. But she's like, hey, those prayers don't count that you're doing. But they do. Whatever style you've got, they count. And the Lord has gifted you and called you and made you and wonderfully to do that. I don't know if Lisa could pray her distractions. Man, it'd be like, you know, oh, I got a 2-day prayer going here now. I got all these distractions rolling. But so anyway, that's why I was worried about kind of going too far with that. All right. Are we good? Are we okay? All right, nuts and bolts, right here we're talking about. Prayer is talking with God, and sometimes we get bored. Anybody get bored? I'll tell you what, if you're a silent prayer and you got a long prayer, you're praying, I'm bored. Sometimes you're looking at a silent prayer and go, what's he doing? I'm bored. I mean, I'm a silent prayer. I used to lead the prayer meeting. Lisa would go, there's nothing. There is for me. I prayed for 5,000 things in that hour. I was excited. Couldn't tell. All right, Matthew 26. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. You know where this is? Who knows where this is? Garden of Gethsemane, right? Jesus is doing what? Jesus is sweating blood. Anybody ever sweated blood? It is a medical condition. It exemplifies incredible stress. Incredible stress. Jesus is sweating blood, and he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. I don't think they're sweating blood. I think they're bored. I think they're tired. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour, he asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing and the body is weak. Sometimes we get bored. The disciples didn't get it. They were sleeping. Jesus got it. This was arguably one of the most critical times in his life. I cannot imagine that Jesus was bored in the Garden of Gethsemane. Can I get a witness on that? And how they could be missing it, that they would have this entirely different perspective and get bored. Because sometimes we're praying for what we're not supposed to pray for. Sometimes we're just praying the trivial. It's like, okay, Lord, I pray for Pastor Bob. Pray for his diabetes. Pray for the church. Lord, we thank you for this food. Be blessing to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. And we start praying for trivial stuff. It's hard to get pumped. Hard to get excited. And if you never learn to get beyond the trivial to the big stuff, you can spend all your time on the trivial. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The disciples didn't realize what was going on. They did not realize. Can you imagine being Peter and going to the last prayer that Jesus prayed before he was arrested? Man, I'm thinking afterwards, he's going, how stupid was I? I could have had an hour. He did it three times. I could have had 3 hours with the Lord, but I was sleeping. Jesus got the big stuff. Jesus got to the big thing. If you never learn how to get through all the clutter of your life, you'll never learn how to get to the big thing. And God wants you to be able to deal with the big thing. Amen? All right. Communication is a challenge. On a good day, communication is a challenge. I got to work on communicating with everybody here. I actually think, when I write this stuff down, I think of you and I think, how am I going to communicate this to this person? And I will go through a whole conversation with you before I even see you. Sometimes that's when I walk up to you and I say, remember when we talked about this? And you'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. It's because I talked to you about it three times in my head. And I forget that we never actually had the conversation. And I'm thinking, don't you remember anything? That's me. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. This has been called the Lord's Prayer. After Jesus had said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may... Is Jesus talking about trivial stuff here? He's talking about glory. He says, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. This is not a trivial prayer. Amen? He is talking about that which he has sacrificed, the glory that he had for eternity past. He's saying, oh, Dad, I want that back. And I do not think that Jesus was bored with this prayer. I do not think that this is a trivial prayer. He wasn't asking, oh, Lord, give me something nice for the cross. I want to look good. Lord, return to me the glory. His greatest desires. What is your greatest desire? Do you even know your greatest desire? Or are you too consumed with the trivial? This tweet, that tweet, this email, this voicemail. this Instagram, this and that and this and that, and the trivial will keep you from that giant thing. God says, my son, my daughter, I have got such grand plans for you. You young people who went to Future Quest, who's searching after your future. God, Bill Wilson said, 1.5% of the people accomplish anything of worth with their lives. 1.5%. I think that's one person in this room. My question for you is it going to be you? Will you get to that big thing? Will you say, Lord, I'm going to wait upon you. Maybe it's silently. Maybe it's deep prayer. Maybe it's on-the-go prayer in Aaron's shower. Lord, I am waiting upon you, Lord. Guide and direct me with my life. You have everything. Amen. Maybe it's that deep prayer. Show me, Lord. Oh, show me. Maybe it's on the go. Lord, show me. Man, I'll be rolling, man. I just turn the radio off. Bam, right in the presence of God. Bam. You know where I love to pray? I don't know if I love to pray there, but I always pray there. I pray in line at the supermarket. I don't know why. I get in line and boom, I am in the presence of God, Lord. I'm just quiet. I'm usually praying in the spirit, Lord of God. Hands are not up. You think I'm a nut? You got to be a nut. I'll tell you what, man, I'm praying in the spirit. I'm sometimes praying for the people around me, but I'm just usually just basking in the presence of God. It is so glorious. God wants you to have that. God wants you to get through the trivial to get to the big stuff. And sometimes the big stuff will come breaking through. Sometimes you got to navigate through it. Got an email. Text, I guess, from Lisa Gade, a week ago Thursday. Where's Joe today? He's not at football practice. Now, Joe had left for practice early that day because he had to go help his buddy out, and Joe was driving on his own. Where's Joe? He's not at practice. Oh, my. Call Joe. No answer. Oh, my. And I'm thinking, you know, because I know that Lisa Gade has sent the same text to my wife. And I know that my wife has not yet seen that text. So I'm going, you know, I got to go see Coach Chris. I got to get a paper signed by him. I'm heading up to the school. I got to get out of here. Oh, sure, you got to go this early. You know, you don't got nothing else. No, I'm going to just go up there right now. And I am getting my stuff, and I am trying to get out. I mean, maybe Lisa's phone's charging. Maybe it's off. I don't know. And I am hitting the door, and literally, I am like grabbing the knob, and I hear this, what is this? And I go, that's another reason why I'm going up to the school. I'm on this. I got to go. You know, all of a sudden, boom, big things will just land on you. And are you ready to move? Are you ready to just respond? Or will you even know? It was all good. He made the sermon, man. What happened was Pastor Scott went up, dropped off, or was up there for something. Oh, dropping off his kids. And Joe was practicing with the linebackers. And he plays linebacker and he plays line. And so Pastor Scott saw the line and didn't see Joe. Send up the warning. You know, you get warnings. Are you going to be ready? Or are you going to be hampered with the small things in your life? Because God has some incredibly mighty things for you to accomplish. See, we could have 1.5% and 1.5% and 1.5%. We have 1.5%ers all over this place. How? Got to learn to get through the clutter. Got to learn how to grab onto God. Got to learn how to put on the mind of Christ. Lisa, you want to come up and play? I want to know, what is the big thing? If you don't know what the big thing is, I want to know what the clutter is. Because if you can't get through the clutter, you'll never get to the big thing. If you don't learn how to process all the little mini dramas in your life, that big thing That big focus for the next 20 years of your life. When I was on the road to the dump, I had no concept. I had no concept. But I connected with the Lord. And He ordered my steps. And we're going to have a time of prayer. And you might be silent prayer. And you might think, you know what, silent prayer, man, I can silent pray back here. You can. But the fire is hottest, closest to the flame. You know? And sometimes you got to just move your feet. I'll tell you what, I called Joe, and my feet were moving. I figured it was safer on the road than with her, worried about her son. It's a little joke. But are you ready to move? Are you ready to say, Lord, okay, I've not asked you this lately, Lord. What is that thing you have for me? What do you want me to accomplish? Lord, I want to be a 1.5 percenter. Lord, I want to have impact with my life. Even if it's, you can be a 1 percenter and have impact in your family. Be that transforming. You can be a 1.5 percenter and you can have transformation in this youth group. You can be a 1.5 percenter. You can have transformation in the kitchen, on the worship team, in a preschool class, in a grammar school class, in a prayer room. Be a 1.5 percenter. You could be a 1.5 percenter sitting back there on the board, running it. That's a hard job. Singing. Do you know what your big thing is? If you don't know what that is, let's start dealing with the little stuff. Get good at it, and you'll move through it to the big stuff. You talking to me? I mean, are you understanding me? We're going to stand. Lisa's going to sing. I encourage you to come. Kneel. Pray silently. If you want me to come and pray with you, I'll come and pray with you. Come up here. Maybe you want to just sing. Just sing one of them great songs we sang earlier. You come right up here. I'll tell you what, right here, Holy Ghost is right here, man. I was standing here. I was just standing in the presence of the Holy Spirit right there. But you know what? He's all around here. Stand with me, would you? Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are mighty, Lord, and that you are close enough that we can touch you, Lord. And if we can touch you, that means you can touch us, Lord. And if you touch us, Lord, you can touch the big things going on in my life, Lord. Mike and Eva's housing situation. Anthony and Aaron's uncles getting ready to come and see you, we hope, Lord. All the drama that goes around, Lord. Lord, every situation for Joe Foss and his body, Lord. For Sharon, Lord, and her challenges that she has. Maybe your education, your money, your housing, whatever your situation is. Maybe you have done terrible things this week and you need forgiveness. We have a forgiving God. But whatever it is, get through that stuff so you can find the big stuff and make an impact for the Lord. Amen? 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 Amen?